Praise the Lord. I tell you, it's good to be here this morning. Feel the presence of the Lord already in this service. I tell you, I enjoyed that Sunday school class. Amen. And you say, well, it's an old hat to us. We hear this kind of teaching every Sunday. Well, where I'm from, our teacher gets up and he reads a verse, and then he has the next guy on the front reads the next verse, the next one. And he said, now what do you think it means? The next guy, well, what do you think this means? And that's Sunday school. And I just can't stand it. Amen. But I enjoyed that Sunday school class this morning.
All right.
Amen. I like somebody to get it. I told somebody, I said, I don't know why they made the man a teacher. He don't teach us anything. We're the ones doing all the talking. And the time it gets around through the class, we done been through everybody's pasture, and we've been down the road with so-and-so as he picked up a hitchhiker, and we've been over here and done that and sold a camper or two. Amen.
Yes,
you know, that ain't Sunday school to me. I like to break out the book. Amen.
Yes,
and I like for somebody to break the bread of life to me and tell me the truth. Amen.
God.
I appreciated that this morning. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to sing if the Lord will help me here today. And Brother Reed says he's never heard this song. So I don't know if y'all have ever heard it. It's an old, old song. 10,000 Angels. Amen. I had that on my heart this morning when I got up. Amen. I'm glad he didn't call those angels. He could have. Amen. But he died alone, the song said, for you and me. Amen. I'm glad he did. Thank God.
Oh,
comes. Oh, he won't last. But I'm going to climb up for the next time.
Bible, turn with me to the book of Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 1. Do these work, Brother Reed? Righty, okay. Don't need a whole lot of volume, but Revelation chapter number 1. I hope we got a little time this morning. I've got a few notes, amen. I hope I don't have to use all of them, amen. But I do like to use notes. Some folks don't, but I use them if I need them. Sometimes I don't use them at all. But Friday night, I was up praying, seeking the Lord about this weekend, asking God what to preach. And I'm not one of these that just comes in with a bag of sermons that I just go around preaching. I try to get the mind of the Lord, you know, to preach wherever I go. And I'm not saying that's wrong. If, you know, God's give you a message, you feel like preaching it, you know, various places, that's wonderful. And sometimes I do that myself. But a lot of times I try to seek God to get the mind of the Lord. And so when I got up Saturday morning to get ready to come here, these thoughts began to flood my mind. And all the way down here, amen, I was really, in my mind, I was preaching this message. I've never preached this before, but I felt like that God has a reason for me to preach this, so I'm going to do that this morning. And the book of Revelation, chapter number 1, and beginning at verse 1, the Bible said, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified by it his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand."
Yeah.
Amen. The time is at hand. The time for this revelation of Jesus Christ, amen, is at hand. Amen. And I want to preach on that this morning. If you look above the chapter 1 there in your Bible, the book is titled The Revelation, and then in my Bible, in small letters underneath, said, "Of Jesus Christ to St. John." Amen. Is that what it says in y'all's King James Bible? Does it say that in your Bible?
Of John.
Of John? Okay, they don't have the ST there. Well, it might have the little ST, but we know who he's talking about. Amen. The revelation of Jesus Christ to John, or to St. John. Amen. This book, amen, a lot of times we look at it as simply a revelation of end time events. Many times we don't see it as a revelation of Jesus Christ. But this book is dealing with the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. The second person of the divine Trinity. Amen. Jesus Christ. And amen, the first chapter, we find that Jesus Christ is revealed to his servant John.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go through the book of Revelation. I probably will not finish this morning, but I would like to go through the book of Revelation just as an overview, amen, to show you how Jesus Christ is revealed, amen, in each section of this book. Amen. I have 11 different revelations of Jesus Christ wrote down here. I'm no Bible scholar by any means. I'm not a PhD. I don't have all that behind my name. I didn't read any books. I'm just going by what I felt like in prayer. Amen. And all the way down here, the Lord began to unveil this to me. Amen. And I felt like I needed to preach it here. I don't know why, but I felt like God needed to speak to us. Amen. In this book here. Amen. Chapter 1 deals with the revelation of Jesus Christ to this man, John. Amen.
Yep.
This man, John, as he was on the Isle of Patmos, said, amen, "I, John, was in the Spirit on the Lord's day," in verse 10, "and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Amen. "What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." Amen. Later on down in that same verse, amen, John said, amen, "in the midst of the seven candlesticks," verse 13, "one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps and with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, amen, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like undefined brass, as if it burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters." Hallelujah. Amen. "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him," John says, "I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand on me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore." Amen. "And have the keys of death and of hell and of death. Write these things which thou hast seen." Amen. "And the things which are, the things which shall be hereafter." Amen. We find this revelation to John. Amen. When Christ comes to him, he reveals himself to John
as the beginning and the end. Alpha and the Omega.
Alpha.
He reveals to John. Amen.
Amen. Son of the Most High God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. This revelation. Amen. This book begins with the revelation of Jesus Christ in the fullness of his deity. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. You see, in the Gospels, we find Jesus revealed to us, amen, as Emmanuel. Amen. It starts out there, amen, in the book of Matthew. They shall call his name Emmanuel, God in us. Amen. It starts the revelation. Amen. Of Jesus Christ actually starts right there. It actually starts in the Old Testament. We get glimpses of him throughout the Old Testament.
Yes.
Amen. Types and shadows of Christ. Amen. And the different appearances of Christ in the Old Covenant. Amen. But when he comes into the world, we find that he comes, amen, just in a small manger. Amen. A babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Amen. We find that but the Bible said the angel said, amen, this is Emmanuel. Amen. They shall call his name Emmanuel. He is God with us.
Yes,
hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God manifested in the flesh. Praise God. Through the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. God was made manifested to us in the flesh. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
He come in flesh. The Gospels deal with that flesh. Deal with his humanity. Deal with him. And throughout the Gospels, we find glimpses and pictures of his deity. Amen. We see him shining, amen, on the Mount of Transfiguration. Amen. We see the glory of God come down, amen, and radiating that whole mountain. Amen. To where Peter said, it's good for us to be here. Let us go, let us make three tabernacles here. One for Moses, Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. We catch glimpses of it when he told them. Amen. He said, even before Abraham was, I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, he's letting the cat out of the bag just a little bit. Amen. When he's revealing himself to them. Amen. Then when doubting Thomas had doubted, amen, and said, let me go see the nails in your hands, or I won't believe. I've got to see his side. I'm going to believe. Amen. When he walked through that room, amen, into that wall, he said, look at here. Amen. Look, behold my side. Touch your hands there. Yeah. Amen. Put your hands there. Yeah. And he said, my Lord and my God. Hallelujah. Oh, great man of God. My Lord and my God. You see, they were sprinkled throughout the Gospels. The revelation of Jesus Christ and his deity. Amen. We find it there. Amen. But the Gospels primarily dealt with his human ministry. Amen. Primarily dealt with what he came to do as a man. Amen. I sung that old song. It's an old song. He could have called 10,000 angels.
Yeah, amen.
He could have done that.
Yeah, he could.
As God, he could have commanded the host of heaven to come down and pull him from that cross.
Amen.
He could have obliterated all of humankind in one moment. Amen.
Lord Jesus.
But the Bible says he died alone on that cross. He hung his head and he said, amen, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen.
Lord, dear God.
Amen. And then he cried, it is finished. Amen. And he gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. We see glimpses of his deity and his resurrection in the end of the Gospels. How many of you know the revelation of Jesus Christ in the New Testament is a progressive revelation? Let me just back up. The revelation of God himself in the Bible is a progressive revelation. Now, what do you mean? What do I mean by that? Well, Brother Reed, you turn in your Bible to Genesis. You don't have to, but you turn in your Bible to Genesis 1:1. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if I didn't know anything about God, I turn to Genesis 1:1, I read that, and I go, well, you know, who is this God that created the heaven and the earth? What is it about this capital G-O-D that creates? Who is this God? Amen. You see, if I was an ignoramus, I wouldn't have known anything more. If that's all I read, all I would know is that in the beginning, God. But you see, by the time I get to Revelation 22, I know a whole lot more about God than where I started in
Amen.
One and one. Amen. You see, the revelation of God is progressive through the Scriptures.
Yep.
Amen. And we learn more and more as we go. You see, it's just like the Trinity. We learn a little bit about the morality within God from the get-go in Genesis when he said, let us make man in our image. When he said there at the Tower of Babel, let us go down and confound their languages.
Right.
Amen. When those three beings met with Abraham, we see a picture and a type of the triune God. Amen. Meeting with Abraham. Abraham paused and worships these three beings.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Denoting their deity and that they are the mighty God.
Hallelujah.
Oh. Amen. Hallelujah. And we see glimpses of the triune God throughout the Old Covenant. Amen. Later on, amen, we see that David would say, amen, my Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstools. You see, they didn't understand and comprehend it fully. Amen. And neither do you and I, but we know a lot more now than what they knew then.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Woo!
Come on, man.
Amen. And the same is true with the person of Jesus Christ. By the time we get to Revelation 22, we know a lot more about Jesus than when we started out. When the angel proclaimed that they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Huh?
Amen. Yes, sir.
By the time we get to the end of Revelations, we have more of more clear word of prophecy and a more clear picture of who Jesus Christ is.
Yes, sir.
And that's why at the end of the book, there is a blessing, there's a curse, rather, put on those who would take away from the words of this prophecy or who would add to it. Amen. Because you're not just, you're adding to or taking away from the revelation of who Jesus Christ is.
Right.
Amen. It is important for you and I to know who this Christ is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And to believe this Christ of the Bible. Can I tell you today, there are many Christs. Amen.
Amen.
There are many different Jesuses. There's a different Jesus in almost every church you walk into in this country.
Come on,
yeah. That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And I will tell you today, there are few churches that preach the biblical Jesus.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. We have a lot of churches that preach the Jesus of the Gospels. Amen.
Yeah.
Do what you say, Brother Cunningham. Do you believe in the Jesus of the Gospels? Absolutely. Amen. Without a doubt. In fact, amen, the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 10, amen, and verse 38, amen, sums up the ministry of Christ in the Gospels. When it was well written of him, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
That sums up the gospel.
Yes.
That sums up the ministry of Christ.
Yes.
That sums up what he did when he was on this earth. He said, how God anointed Jesus of the Holy Ghost,
who
went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The mistake that many churches make is that they leave that, amen, as the completion of the revelation of Jesus Christ. But that's not the complete revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Cunningham, do you believe Jesus does good things? Do you believe Jesus heals? Do you believe? Absolutely. Amen. Hallelujah. And I can preach that right there and shout all day long just on how good God is.
Amen.
We could.
Yep.
Amen. In fact, I will tell you, and this may not go very good, Brother Reed, but I go to a lot of meetings that I have in the past, and I've noticed that about 80 to 90% of what I hear preached, amen, can be summed up, amen, in this verse here, how God anointed Jesus under the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. Amen. He went about doing good. 80 to 90% of what I preach is wrapped up in this revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, what I hear preached today is a message of God's for you. God's for you.
Preach for you.
Preach that. Do you think I don't believe God's for you? I believe God's for me. Brother Reed, he's for me. Amen, brother. Nicholson, God, I don't remember your first name.
Randall.
Praise God. Brother Randall, God's for you.
Right.
Hallelujah. But today I hear 89% of what I hear in holiness churches preach is this message just repackaged with different texts and whatnot and different titles. But when you boil it all down, it all boils right back down to God's for you. He's for helping.
Come on, yeah.
He's for you being blessed. He's for you getting your healing. He's for you getting saved. He's for you doing it. He's for you doing it. I believe God's for me. If God's for me, who can be against me?
Hallelujah. Right.
Come on. Woo! Oh, hear that.
But you see, if we're not careful, our revelation of Jesus becomes unbalanced.
You see, if God be for me, who can be against me? If that's true, then the converse of that's true also. Amen. If God be against me, who can be for me?
Right.
What's it matter who's for me?
Come on. Amen.
Who cares who's
preach,
for me?
Preach.
If God's against me, then who can be for me? Amen. Well, I see some teachers, brother. They're going to have an instant ear. And they're telling me what I want to hear. Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're telling me what I want to hear. They're making me feel good. But if God's against you, amen, then it doesn't matter who's telling you what and who's preaching to you what.
Right.
It doesn't matter who's scratching your ear. Amen. If God be against you, then who in this world can be for you?
Right.
Who's going to hold your hand in the judgment?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Preach it.
Who's going to lead you to the throne of God and say, well, I preached this, Father, and I told him that, Father, and I made this excuse and that excuse, and these ought to hold water in the day of judgment.
Amen.
I want to tell you, those people will be nowhere to be found on the judgment day.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
And they will get the just recompense of their reward, as well as you. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ is progressive. If we leave Jesus in the Gospels, we see little spits and spats of his temper there in the casting out of the money changers and calling the Pharisees snakes, vipers, and hypocrites. We see little glimpses of that in the Gospel. But we don't see the full reality of that side of Christ until we get to this book that I just opened this morning. The book of Revelation.
Right.
All right. Amen. We don't realize, we don't really see the total picture of this great God. Amen. That we are naked before whom we have to do until we get to this book. We catch it. We catch glimpses of it here in the epistles. Amen. We hear about Paul and his warnings and his, but we find the complete revelation when we get to this book. In order to get to Revelation, one preacher said you have to go through the book of Jude, the Acts of the Apostate, in order to get to the end times. I believe we're going through that book right now. Amen. The Acts of the Apostates. We're there. Amen. It's a terrible time. And Brother Reed, Paul's teaching is on every hand.
Preach on.
Paul's doctrine is everywhere.
Yes.
Paul's Christ are a dime a dozen. Amen. But I'd like to bring out the real Christ this morning if the Lord will help.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Amen. If we leave Christ in Acts 10:38, amen, we find him doing good. Amen. We find him healing all that are oppressed of the devil. We find God working with him to help you and I out. Amen. I'm glad he's a help.
Yep.
Amen. The Bible says he's an ever-present help in the time of need.
Amen.
Amen. But you see, amen, religion has been down that road before, amen, and not preaching the full counsel of God. You see, when you go back to the Old Testament, amen, in fact, we'll just turn there, Exodus chapter 32. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. Amen. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods.
Yeah.
Now, I don't believe he's talking about plurality of, I know the Bible uses little G-O-D-S. I believe that Moses or that the people had some concept of the plurality of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Said, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up, out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people, it doesn't say some of them, it says all of them, break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with the graving tool which he had made at after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. But notice what verse 5 says. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the capital L, Lord. We have built a calf. Amen. And tomorrow we're going to have a feast unto the Lord God, Jehovah. And we're likening this calf to that God that brought us out of Egypt. Amen. We understand that.
Yeah.
Amen. We understand that. Amen. What was it about the calf that was so wrong? Do you know there was not a law, amen, up to this point that said, thou shalt not have unto me, make unto me any graven image? Woo! Right.
Come on, there was no law. Amen. That came just a little later. Amen. It came down from Sinai. But up to this point, there was nothing in writing that said, thou shalt not.
Amen.
Come on.
How did they operate? How did they know it was wrong? Yeah, they knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
Not because they read it in Scripture, but because man has confidence.
Yeah,
I know, brother. Out of conscience.
Yes, sir.
Amen. They also know it was wrong because Moses was ordained of God to be their leader, not Aaron, and not the voice and will of the people.
Right? Amen.
Right? So they had a conscience that testified against them, and they had the will of the people that went against their own conscience, and then we have a backslid, spineless, godless priest.
And this calf represented their idea of who God was.
Come on, brother.
Now, I've heard this preached before in different ways, but and I've heard this thought brought out, but I wrote down my own thoughts about the calf. What I, in my mind, if I was to build a calf, I kind of put myself in their shoes, and I thought, why would I build a calf? If I was going to build a calf, and liken it unto Jehovah, why would I build it? Well, first of all, the Bible says that Aaron told him, says, get rid of your earrings. Bring them to me. Amen. You know what happened, Brother Reed? The conservatives got all excited. They said, woo!
Stop that. We're not. Yeah.
Woo!
I got no. That's the earrings are coming out.
Yeah.
All right. Amen.
Yeah.
Come on. Get God. Because we're going back to old time religion. Amen. They're getting rid of the earrings. And they're getting, the priest has taken them out. And look at here.
Oh, everybody. All of them. He's taking them out.
Yes, sir.
Woo! You see, the calf, he represented some semblance of a separation from the world.
Yeah.
Oh, all the heathens wore the makeup, the jewelry, and all that. They got that out of Egypt.
Amen.
Right? But this great God brought us up, says, we want our earrings. And we're going to make a God like into this God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And this God says, he wants my earrings. So if God wants my earrings, I'm going to get him out. That sounds pretty good. Woo! Conservatives thought we're in revival. Moses never told us to get rid of our earrings. That old liberal, no good for nothing. And here we are. We're cleaning ourselves up on the outside. Boy, aren't we looking right.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on.
And see, the first thing that calf represented was a separation from the world. Huh?
Come on,
preacher. Well, wait a minute. That's a calf. They built it to liken it unto Jehovah God. Huh? The second thing that calf represented, amen, was strength. This is the God that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. How did he bring us up? He brought us up with his might and his power and his strength.
Yeah.
Even the calf represented strength. Amen. The calf is strong. Amen. I mean, he's a lot stronger than you and I as a man. So they knew that the God was stronger than they were.
Yeah.
So Amen. Because this calf would have that strength, that the strength that man could not have and possess. Amen. Number three, this calf represented help. Huh? He represented the help of God. Huh? You see, a calf helps man. Man can harness the help from the calf. Amen. He can tie ropes, ropes and harnesses to the calf. He can make that calf help him plow a field and do what man can't do by himself. Amen. And a calf, even when he's grown, can do a lot of work for a man. Amen. And so he represented the help and strength. Also the calf represented help in the way, amen, of feeding and clothing. Amen. We have the meat of the calf, the milk of the calf, and the clothing of the calf. So we've got a God that represents being fully clothed. Amen. He can make coats out of the calf. You've got all that right here in the calf. Yeah.
Amen.
Huh?
Yes.
He represented all those things. That just sounds pretty good so far. God that helps us. God that tells us to be separated from the world. He's a God of strength. Number four, the calf represented prosperity. He was a golden calf. He represented wealth and strength and power and health and prosperity. Huh?
Yes.
It had value. Everybody's God ought to have some value. It was a golden calf. It wasn't just a clay calf, a painted calf, or a wooden calf, but it had value. It had something. It was worth something. Yes, God worth something to the people. And yeah, it's worth something to me. Praise God.
Yep.
Amen. This calf, man, it was symbolized the value of God and the prosperity of God to his people.
Lord Jesus.
Brother Cunningham, it's God's will that we prosper and be in health, even as the soul prospers. Amen. Well, that was what John said. That was his salutation to the elect lady. I suppose that's good enough for us. Huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, amen, if this is the God, amen, that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, amen, let's find out what's missing in that calf.
Mama, come on.
Amen. These are the things that are in the calf, but let's find out what's missing in the calf. I'll tell you the first thing that's missing is judgment. There's no judgment in the calf.
Right.
He can't tell them right or wrong.
No.
Amen. He's not going to judge Israel. He's not going to stand and judge the right from the wrong, the good from the bad.
Right.
Amen. The blessed from the ugly. He can't do that.
He can't do it. No.
Amen. He has no ability to judge anything.
Amen.
Amen. Second of all, amen, he cannot judge. Amen. Number two, amen, he can't speak. He can't talk. And everybody likes the God that can't talk. Huh?
Come on, yeah.
He can't speak.
That's
him. You know, men like a God that can't talk. The brother preached, or the brother taught this morning, and he mentioned that fifth verse. I scribbled that down, the fifth chapter rather of Matthew, and that second verse it says, "And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying."
Amen. Yes.
Uh-huh. Huh?
Yes.
John chapter 15, verse 22, Jesus said, "If I had not come and spoke unto them,"
right,
"they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin."
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
You see, he wasn't like the calf. The calf couldn't talk. But Jesus said, "I came and I spoke."
Come on, yeah.
Huh? Amen. Huh? "I came and I spoke." Hebrews, amen, 1 and 1 says, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Hallelujah.
Thank God.
The calf can't speak, but we got a revelation that Jesus Christ, amen, not only is all those things that were in that calf, but he's just a little bit more.
Amen.
We're going to find out he's our judge. We're going to find out that he speaks. Amen. And we live in a time, listen to me, when people don't mind so much you have some kind of a standard. I'm around a lot of folks that like standards. But they're the one of God that speaks to them.
Right.
Deals with them.
Right.
Amen.
Well, I don't wear earrings. That makes me holy. Is that what made the children of Israel holy? I don't believe in wearing earrings. Let me tell you, I don't wear none of that stuff. We don't wear none of that stuff. I believe it's right. Amen. But listen, amen. If that's all we've got, it's just an outward standard. We've got just as much religion as the idolaters that danced around the golden calf.
That's right.
Yes, come on, preach.
Yes. Woo! Oh, amen.
Amen.
And I'm a little tighter on a lot of things than a lot of homeless folks are when it comes to dress. But I'm not going to go there this morning. Amen. That's not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Amen. Who is this Christ? I'll tell you, we have neglected Christology in our pulpits. We don't preach this Jesus anymore. We preach a God that will help you. A God that will have strength. A Jesus that's for us. Amen. A Jesus that will help us when we're in need. And yes, He will do all of those things. But we have a Jesus, sadly, that's neglecting in judgment. You know, it disturbs me. There was a time when I first came into holiness that they taught me. Listen to me. I come in 16 years ago, and I remember preachers preaching about righteous judgment. And it was the same as God's duty to have righteous judgment.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I'm amazed at how the holiness folks out here now that say, Don't judge me. Who are you to judge? Who do you think? I never dreamed, Brother Reed. I live in a day when I conservative people would say, don't judge.
Right.
Because we knew better at one time. And now we're in a day.
Sure we do.
Amen. A friend of mine was talking to a 100-year-old lady the other day on the phone. Bless her heart. She's 100 years old. Amen. It don't matter how old you are. The devil can come with that still, small voice of his. Amen. And she said, well, brother, we shouldn't judge. She'd been a holiness nearly all her life. I mean, just as from a little girl, she knew holiness. Amen. Been in it when Pentecost first came to that part of the country. Amen. And here she is at 100 years old. She's got that old life. Don't judge. We're not to judge. Amen. Unrighteous judgment. We're not to judge hypocritical judgment. Amen. But the Bible said the righteous shall judge all things, but he himself is judged of no man. 1 Corinthians 2:15. Amen. He's judged of no man, but he judges. And we've lost judgment. We've lost sight of a Christ that judges. Amen. We want a Christ that preaches grace and love and mercy. But we don't want to talk about the Christ that is a judge. Amen. You see, modern Pentecost has built its own golden calf. Oh, we don't see it in church in the form of a calf. But we have a God, a Christ, to our own liking. He has a lot of value to a lot of people. I want to tell you, a Christ that has no judgment and a Christ that does not speak to your heart is a worthless Christ.
Right.
A Christ that cannot deal with your heart, a Christ that cannot speak to you about your sin, is absolutely worthless.
Amen.
He's as worthless as that calf out there in that desert. Amen. You know why those people, you know what happened when they all got their old time religion going? The Bible said that when Moses and Joshua come down off that mountain, the Bible said they heard a noise far off, and they was shouting.
Huh? Yes, there was.
You see, the emotionalism, amen, and I let me tell you, I'm a shouter. I couldn't understand why y'all wasn't saying amen during Sunday school. I was really getting with that, amen.
Come on.
Praise God. Amen, I was getting with that good teaching. Amen, I thought that brother deserves some amens, amen. I'll be the only one, amen. Hey, God, be some hallelujahs.
Yes, Lord.
When you hear the truth, you ought to be able to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Thank God for the truth. Hallelujah. There ought to be something wells up within us that gets excited about hearing this gospel. Hallelujah. But we have grown cold in our experiences with God, and we've grown cold to the truth. But if another comes in His name, we'll gladly receive him. Huh? If another Christ comes, we'll gladly receive that Christ because He makes me feel good. Amen. This golden calf made the people of God feel good. And they shouted around it.
Yep.
in that valley. And Moses and Joshua comes down. Joshua says, what's the noise of that shouting that I hear? I'm going to tell you, they knew when they come down that mountain, there was something they didn't agree with in here. And they said, that's an old timer. Right. It ain't old time.
Something wrong with this.
There's just something wrong with that shouting. They hadn't got down there to see what was going on. They didn't know they was dancing naked around the camp. But they hadn't seen it yet. But Joshua, when he heard it, there was something in there that said, there's something that don't ring clear about that shouting.
Amen.
Huh? You see, we have justified our Christ and we have used emotionalism to justify our God, the God of our liking. Well, Brother Cunningham, we shout. I don't care if you put black marks up the wall and around the ceiling and or over on the floors. I don't care if you dance and holler and scream all down these aisles every service. Amen. If your Christ is missing some things, it don't matter how much you shout. If you're missing conviction in your heart,
right,
and in your home and in your life, of sin. If you're not being convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, I'm afraid, friend, you're getting excited with the wrong spirit.
Right? Come on. Yes, sir.
Woo! Yeah, amen. Oh, yeah. Hey, but there's a deceiving spirit out there, and he works hand in hand with doctrines of devils. What is the doctrine of devils? It's a false Christ.
Yes,
it's an antichrist.
Yes.
It's another Christ.
Yes.
It's another spirit.
Yes.
It's another God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's another Jesus. Amen. And we're shouting to us. We're playing our rock and roll in church to him.
Yeah.
He's a rock and roll God, don't you know? No, I don't know that. I've never read where the angels rap holy, holy, holy in the presence of God. Huh? Sing holy. I don't sing a lot of love.
He said, well, is God love? Yes, he's love. God is love.
Amen. But God is holy. And we have neglected the holiness of God in our preaching of the love of God. We've neglected the characteristic of God's holiness. Amen. By our overemphasis of grace and mercy and love. I believe in all of those things. Aren't you glad God loved you when you was yet a sinner?
Yes,
who died for you? Oh, that means something to me. But I'll tell you, it don't mean so much to me if I don't realize that the same Christ that loves, amen, is also the Christ that I stand before one day and give an account to him of the deeds that are done in this body.
That's right.
Amen. When I realized, amen, how I have offended this Christ, amen. When I realized how that I, my sins, amen, have wounded him. And Revelations gives us a clear picture of who this Christ is. And it begins, the revelation of Jesus begins to tear down all of the false ideas that we have about Jesus. You see, we're not dealing with a Christ in a manger in 2010, folks.
Right.
And let me put it to you this way. We're not even dealing with a Christ that walked the shores of Galilee in 2010.
Wow.
We're dealing with a Christ who dealt with his churches in the second and third chapter of Revelations.
Right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Right. Amen.
We're dealing with the Christ whose eyes are like a flame of fire.
Oh,
and his feet are like brass. That's the Christ we're dealing with. You see, was he all those things? Yes, he was. Amen. But he was those things to become what he is now.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. He died to be what he is. He died to purchase what he has to throw us to die.
Yes.
He died to buy a church.
Yes.
He died so that he could be ahead of that church that he purchased with his own blood.
Yeah.
Huh? He died that he might purchase that church and that he might be the head of that church. And that in all things he may have the preeminence in that church. Amen. He died for that. Amen. We find the second and third chapter of Revelation. As we look at this revelation, amen. I hope tonight we get in this, I'll try to end on a better note than where I'm going to probably end this morning. Revelations 2 and 3. He's the Christ to the churches. He's Jesus to the church. He's we find this revelation of him to the churches. What kind of revelation do we have of Jesus to the churches? Sadly, this is not the Jesus that's preached in the modern church. The Jesus that preaches to the modern church says, Brother Reed, our works don't matter. Works? Divulge the things that he's against in those churches. Let me tell you, if you think that we as holiness folks don't have some things that Jesus Christ says, I have somewhat against thee, you've only deceived yourself.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
We have gotten so pious that we think we are above correction because we have the name holiness on our door. Let me tell you, we all see the backsliding of most nominal Pentecostalism. We've seen the PH, the Church of God, AG, and all of those churches go completely contrary to the Scripture and go way off in another direction. Amen. And it don't take a rocket scientist to know all of that.
Amen.
If you talk to most of them, they even know there's something wrong. They may not want to change. But you can preach holiness to a lot of liberals, and they'll sit there and say, Amen.
Uh-huh.
I haven't done it, Brother Reed.
Yeah.
Amen. They'll agree with you. They're not going to change. They'll say, Amen. Let me tell you, I preached some holiness to homeless folks, and they get real quiet.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I'm not talking about just sleeves and hairdos, and I'm talking about just real down to the nitty gritty heart holiness.
Yes.
And they'll begin to get real quiet.
Yes, sir.
I'll begin to deal with issues of the heart. I'll begin to deal with a lion's own. Proud spirit. Huh? I'll be glad to hear those seven things that God hates. And you know what? You'll find out folks in the homeless church will get real quiet real fast.
Yes, sir.
Huh? Amen. I learned never to ask the homeless man to come do any work for me on my house. I don't know how it is. I'm sure it ain't like that here in the hills. But where I'm from, amen, I've had bad experiences. I haven't come to my house, pay them money. They do just a little diddly stuff or two, and then they're gone. I never see them again. But they sure got their money. They like their money.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Yeah.
Holiness folks ought to keep their word.
Yeah, they ought to. Yes, sir. They will keep their
word. They can risk anybody else, and let alone a man of God in the church.
Yes, sir.
You can't love your brother. Hey, I know you ain't loving that out there in the world. You can't do right to your brother or sister. I know you're not doing right out in the world.
Right.
When I go into town and I hear men say, Oh, is he your pastor? And their eyes kind of get big. And they kind of wag their head and go, Boy, I don't have no confidence in that man. He done this, he done that, he lied here, he ripped so-and-so off, and he was supposed to put 12 inches of insulation. He only gave a man 4. Huh?
Yeah, amen. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I tell you. Hey man, if you're a man of God and they come saying you're doing insulation, they ask for 12, you ought to put about 14 in there just to make sure you've done the job.
Right? Yes.
Woo!
Amen.
When that sinner man goes up there with his ruler, he ought to say, you know, man of God, God did me real good.
Huh?
Yeah, we ought to have a testimony. You talk about being alive. That's exactly what we ought to do.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You know what? When I go into the barber shop, he likes me coming in there. You know what? Because I was giving him $1 or $2 on top of what he was getting. $10. I mean, $10 or $11 or $12. $5. Amen. He likes seeing me come in there. Why? Amen. Because now I need a light in this dark world. You know, most folks are tightwads. You know, we go on a restaurant to eat, and most of the time, waitresses hate to see homeless folks come in, because we're the tightest bunch in town. Amen. Those Baptists will leave those big oh, we're broke, we're poor. Amen. If you are, don't go eat then.
Come on.
Eat a home. But if you're going to go out in that community, you be a light out there.
Amen.
Huh? You be a light, that testimony.
They see us.
They know we're homeless when we walk in there. Well, they know we're homeless, but I think they don't just know we're homeless because of the way we look. They know we're homeless by how we treat them.
Come on,
get out.
How we love them, how we act.
Amen. Right. Amen.
They know we're homeless. Amen.
But you see, there's a lot of these things we've lost in Pentecost. Amen. There's a lot of these things that we've just let and we've hid. Let me tell you. Amen. Ladies, your hair was given to you for a covering, not for a cover up.
Right,
it was given to you for a covering, not a cover-up. Huh? I've met ladies that, I mean, they have it. Amen. We was in a church not long ago. Amen. The piano player, whose wife was the main deacon in that church, she's full of devils, Brother Reed. Full of demons. They speak through her often. Huh? But she looks so good. I want to say, you can't cover up a devil.
Amen.
Oh, you might try. And you might have a few folk food. But you don't got God's food, and you ain't got most of the God's folks' food.
Right, right.
You may have a lot of hypocrites' food, but you ain't got God's no. people' food.
Right.
Amen. You can try to dress up that devil if you want to, but I'm telling you, we've got the cart before the horse. We've got everything turned around. We've got dressed up devils in our church that have never been delivered.
Yeah,
I believe that. Oh, God. Oh, God. Amen. I've sat in church and wondered if I was being preached the truth or being brainwashed into a lie. Amen. Man got up in the pulpit here a while back. I won't tell you he was my pastor, but anyway. Got up in the pulpit and he said, if you're down on the church, he said, you need to pack your bags and leave. If you're down on the church. I told the wife, I said, I guess me and Jesus need to go. He was down 5 and 7 revelations. I guess there's no room for us here. He was down 5 and 7, Brother Reed.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't understand. You say, there's no room for correction. We're holiness people. Amen. You want a God that doesn't speak. That's your problem.
Yeah.
You want a God that does not speak. Because when Jesus speaks, you have sin.
Amen. Yeah.
But if he don't speak, you don't know any. You just pretend like you don't know. And everything's fine. But it ain't fine. Our God speaks. And he's still got a few folks, Brother Reed, like you and I, your brother, and a few others here in this church. Amen. That speak. Amen. There's a lot of folks out there that don't want God speaking. They listen to a seducing spirit. They'd rather listen to a doctrine of the devil.
Amen.
I'll prove it. I had a man come to my church not long ago. I'm going to have to stop here. I'm going to finish tonight. Amen. And I've got a long way to go to get to the end of Revelation, but we'll do it. Had a man come to my church not long ago, and I'm going to close with this. It's been about 6 years ago, I should say, six. I've been gone from there about 5 years. Right before I left, a man come through our part of the country. He would come through on high recommendations. I was in a little organization. I don't know if any of you ever heard of the Holiness Assembly of God, and I was part of that. They call it Survival Holiness Now. But this man was in our fellowship. Come with high recommendations. You know, I'm preaching. He's a good preacher. He's a man of faith. He prays for the sick. Boy, that's fine. We had all sick folks. Amen. Brother Reed, I said, you know, we need a man out there. Come by. I'm sick. I need God's touch. He come in. And boy, I mean, the first time, he preached it high. I mean, he preached it high. I preached faith. You just reach out and grab your heel, just like a fruit on a tree. I mean, just that, you know, just faith. You just build us up. Second night comes, same thing. Third night, same thing. Fourth night, same thing. But right there at the end of that revival, he slipped something in on us that horrified me. He slipped something in on us. He got up and he's preaching. He mentioned Brother Elder Savage's name. He said, Brother Elder, I looked at here, but look at me, not only Brother Elder Savage is preaching. And he was talking about Jesus being the God. He said, I'm going to tell you, folks, I don't believe that. Boy, my ears perked up. What's he going with this? I don't believe that. He said, I don't believe that Jesus is God. That's oneness. He said, that's oneness theology. I thought, boy, everything I've ever read on the therapy. He said, we believe that too. I don't want to teach that. But we also teach that. There are some things that overlap in that doctrine. The oneness. We believe Jesus is God, don't we?
Yeah.
This man was up there preaching that Jesus was the Son of God. But it was wrong to call him God. I thought, you know, I got out my declaration of faith, you know, when I was in Church of God. It said we believe in one God, eternal existing, three persons, namely Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And you get clarification on that. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
He was up there preaching. And I really, Brother Reed, I thought, surely he doesn't mean what he said. I really didn't want to believe that he was preaching that. I should have stopped him right there, but I didn't. I let him finish his sermon. When church was over with, I'm telling you, I want to tell you folks, we had more shouting in that revival than any meeting I ever had in that church. I saw people shout in that revival that I had never seen move. What a water. He didn't so much as twist in the service. He was running around that church nearly every night, just running. Found out later the man was molesting his 14-year-old stepson. Had been for 2 years. Had been while he was running the aisles. Huh? I didn't know that. But when I preached, he just never twitched. Never moved. Stonewall Jackson sitting there. Amen. Service after service. This man come and preached. Amen. I questioned the man after service. I said, how do you believe on the Godhead? Do you believe Jesus is God? Well, I believe he's the Son. So I'm asking you to say, I believe he's the Son of God too. I said, in fact, the Jehovah's Witnesses said he's the Son of God. They believe that. The Mormons will say he's the Son of God. I said, but define who he is as the Son. Is he also God? Is he God? Well, no, I don't believe that. I said, whoa, right there. I said, you tell me you don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. He sputtered, spinning around. And then he started saying, people back there studied the Trinity. And that Council of Nicaea, I said, just stop right there. I don't want to hear no more of that. Just stop right there. I know where you're going with this. I don't want to hear it. I said, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, if you deny, I said, you telling me he's not Emmanuel, God with us? And he just all over and over, every question. I said, you don't believe that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh? Amen. He just every question. He said, God, he's just the Son. He's the Son. He's the Son. I said, that's not what I asked you. Finally, when he admitted he did not believe in the Trinity, this man had been in the Assembly of God's preacher for 35 years. When I got that on, he looked at me and he said, are you going through all this to tell me that I'm not allowed to preach in your pulpit again? I said, I'm glad I don't have to tell you that because that's exactly what I'm getting to.
Amen.
I said, you will never preach in my pulpit again as long as you believe that doctrine. I said, you got in my pulpit and you preached that doctrine. I said, now I've got to get in my pulpit and straighten all that mess out. And I did. I got in my pulpit and I said, this man preached to you a false doctrine. And I said, and here's what it is. And I said, and he will never preach in this pulpit again. People got mad. People that I had taught Brother Reed for 6 or 7 years in that pulpit. And when I started that church from ground zero, just like you started this church here. And when I pioneered that church, people got mad. You know why? Woo! They were pretty shouted.
Yeah,
we messed up in every night. We got blessed. Amen. Look at how many people got saved. Look at how many people around me are. Look at how many got the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Look at that. I'm telling you, I don't care how much you dance around that golden calf. That is not the God of the Bible.
Right.
Huh? That's another Jesus and another gospel. That doctrine cost me my church. I stood for right. I left that church. You know, they asked that man now to come back and preach there. Now they've got a deacon in that church that believes the same doctrine. I lost that church to a false God. And you're going to tell me, I feel like I have all that labor of the reading for nothing. Just seems like it's all lost away for naught. Amen. And you're telling me I don't have a right to stand up for the true Jesus of this book?
Yes.
I'm telling you, we better stand for him.
Go ahead.
Let the devil in hell out there waiting to take up those good ones like and slip another Christ in on us. And if we're not careful, God's going to be right in here. Amen. If it's your holiness right here in Uptown Tennessee, he will slip one in on us if we're not careful.
Yes, sir.
Stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah.